Listen as I read Hebrews 4, 12 to 16. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Lancaster Mennonite Conference has been evaluating its affiliation with Mennonite Church USA. I think many of you are aware of that. And at the request of the elders, Randy is going to incorporate in his sermon today a bit of an update on that process. Not attempting to lead us one way or the other, but giving us an update. So I invite Randy forward to share with us napkin theology.
In anticipation of napkin theology, everybody will be getting a napkin in the service, so you can look forward to that when that comes. So I know you guys are all very curious as to what that means. Our mission vision statement here at Whitmer Heights Mennonite is figuring out together how to follow Jesus and make our community and the world a better place. This morning, we gather for worship as a community, as a body of Christ, and we get to figure out together how we talk with one another, how we have discussions, how we share our passions with one another about subjects that are very dear to our hearts and that come with many emotions. We figure out together what it means to be a part of the Lancaster Mennonite Conference. We figure out together what it means to be a part of Mennonite Church USA. We figure out together what it means to be Whitmer Heights Mennonite Church together. And the beautiful thing is that we do it with God's presence with us and going ahead of us. So I look forward to this time of learning with one another. The scripture that Jan read, Hebrews 4, 12 to 16, is one of the lectionary texts for this week. This is Paul writing here. And it's really important in this scripture to keep in mind the context that Paul is writing in. He's writing to majority of Israelites that have grown up hearing the stories of their ancestors and the reading of the Torah, which would have been their scriptures, their ancestors and who had this understanding of a great high priest who would go into the tabernacle and make a sacrifice with an animal for the sin that was committed. And so we can see some of the language in these verses here that if you're a Hebrew, makes sense. And yet now Paul is giving a different understanding of what it means to have a great high priest in Jesus. But I want to start with verse 12. And there's a part in here that really captures me when I read this. And that is this understanding of a living and active Word of God. A living and active Word of God. What is the living Word of God? I think it's a really beautiful way to understand how God works in this world and how this the Bible that we have is more than just a book or a document that we read. It's living. It's a living word. The Bible, in its Hebrew and Greek, is not a precise mathematical language. It's alive. It desires to be known. It dares all us to dig into it, to chase after it, to pursue it and immerse ourselves into it. This isn't something that we just read once and put down and we have it. It requires a relationship with the Word. I want to use a parallel to Facebook. Many of us probably have Facebook. Some of us do not. I do have a Facebook profile. I've deleted it for 2 months just to get away from it, and then I always somehow come back to it again. So, but what does a Facebook profile do? What does it tell you about someone? It tells you their interests. Sometimes it'll tell you their political affiliation, religious affiliation. If they're in a relationship, it might give some of their, like, you can like different things, maybe a certain band or TV show. But would any of us want our Facebook profile to truly represent who we are if someone would look at that profile and say, now I fully understand who that person is? Well, I know for myself, I would not want that. And in the same way, I think sometimes it can be easy to make, when we read the Bible and we pick out certain of the most popular verses and the things that first come to our mind, and we kind of make that the Facebook profile of the Bible. But the reality is you can't do that with the Bible, with the living Word of God, because it takes years, if not a lifetime, to truly be able to dig in and wrestle with the Scriptures. To not just read the Scriptures, but to let the Scriptures form us. Just as if I want to get to know someone, I don't look at their Facebook profile to figure out who they are. I have a relationship with them. Knowing a living being is not a science. Knowing is not merely data gathering. Truly knowing a living being takes time and purpose and relationship. And here's the thing that is so interesting to me, is that as all of us, many of us, have spent much of our lives reading the Scriptures and having a relationship with the Word of God, is that we still, in the midst of that, don't all read the Scriptures exactly the same. We can pretty much agree here that the center of our life is in Jesus, and that the Bible is to be read with Jesus at the center. And that I am so grateful for, that we can read that together. And yet, still as we read this living Word of God, there's certain things that we might interpret a little bit differently. And so how do we do that together with this living Word of God? Well, I think we need one another to read this living Word. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Christian martyr and theologian who lived during the time of Nazi Germany. And he started a community of training pastors. And Bonhoeffer really emphasized the need of certain practices that the community does together. Whether it's waking up together and eating a meal together, or singing songs together, or praying together. service with one another. But the other thing that Bonhoeffer says is really important for the community is that you have to read the Bible together. You have to read this living Word of God together. And he says, we need each other because the Christ in our own heart is weaker than the Christ in the world. I'll say that again. We need each other because the Christ in our own heart is weaker than the Christ in the word of our brother. Our own heart can sometimes be uncertain, but our brother's or sister's is sure. That's why we need other Christians as bearers and proclaimers of the divine word of salvation to remind us of the word of God. I think there's something really powerful about that. That I read the scriptures and God speaks to me in this living word of God. And yet I have a brother or sister right beside me who's also reading this scripture and God speaks to them. And then what happens when we speak to one another? We need each other to hear this living word of God. I want to talk a little bit about a place in my life where I have seen this space where people come together and talk about the living word of God in their own life. It's a pastor's group that I was invited to be a part of when I first became a pastor. And the pastor's group is called Napkin Theology. This is how the group got started. One of the pastors in the group a few years ago was at a restaurant. And he was talking with another pastor. And they weren't, they didn't agree on everything as far as how they read the Bible. They agreed on a lot of things, though, like Jesus is the center and worship is central as we worship Jesus as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But what they did was, as the one pastor was trying to kind of explain what he was hoping for in church, he took a napkin out at the restaurant and he drew a line. Horizontal line, like that. And he said, I'm frustrated because it seems so often we just put people into two groups. You're either conservative or you're progressive. And he drew that on the napkin. And he said, the reason that frustrates me is because we're so much more than just a label. And it's so much more nuanced than that. And you might be progressive in one area, but really pretty traditional in another. And here we are just putting them into two groups. He said there has to be a better way that we think about if people are just in one category or the other in the church. And he said, one thing that I'm interested in is not so much if you're more traditional or conservative or more progressive, but... And then he drew another line dissecting it. Going up and down. He said, I'm more interested if at the bottom you're not willing to listen to someone who disagrees with you, closed, or at the top, open to listening to someone who disagrees with you. So he drew a line this way, open and closed. And he said, I have a lot of friends who are more traditional, but not willing at all to listen to someone that they disagree with. He said, I also have a lot of friends who are pretty progressive, and they are terrible at listening to people that they disagree with, too. He said, both of these quadrants really are not hitting it at all. I'm interested in these kinds of conversations. Folks who are more traditional and hold orthodox teachings, but are open to listening to someone that's more progressive. And folks who are more progressive and read the scriptures a little bit more progressively, but are open to conversations with people who read it more traditionally. He said, that's what I'm looking for. And so he scribbled that on a napkin. And this other pastor said, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, I'm hearing you. And before they knew it, there was a few other pastors who said, yeah, that sounds pretty good. I think that there's something on there. And now there's a pastor's group that meets every 5 weeks, and it's called Napkin Theology. We don't all think the same. We agree on a lot. But we've agreed that we will come together, and that regardless if we're more progressive or traditional, we will worship in this space up here, where we are willing to listen to the person that thinks differently than us. What do we do at Napkin Theology? Well, the first thing we do is we always have a time of eating together. Not a meal, but just some snacks. Then we sit around in a circle. And we start the time off with 5 minutes of silence. Just silence. And just letting the Holy Spirit be present there with us in the silence. And then we go around in a circle. And each pastor shares what's going on in their heart and their life. They share about maybe a conflict going on in their personal life or in the congregation, using anonymous names. And we hold that with one another. And then maybe some pastor will share a conviction that they really have, and another pastor might have a difference, but they share that too, and they listen to one another. And so we have that time of sharing with one another. And then we have a time of prayer for each other. And we pray for the things that we heard. Then we have a little bit of a break. And we eat some more. And we drink coffee. And then at the end, this is what we do. And this is my favorite part. We always, at the end of Napkin Theology, have communion together. We have communion together to represent that even though all of us are coming with differences, we agree that Jesus is the center of our faith, and that even when we disagree, we can still hold communion with one another because Jesus is present in that room with us. As I think about this proposal that Lancaster Mennonite Conference has given to us, I think of Napkin Theology. And so as we take the next 10 minutes to look at this proposal, I would invite us to do it with a spirit of Napkin Theology, where I know many of us at Whitmer Heights here have some differences in how we think about this proposal. And that's okay. It's okay if we can come with being willing to be up here, willing to stay open and listening to those that we disagree with. If I could get two people to help me hand these out, everybody gets a proposal and a napkin, Neil. God, just Nate, can I get one? Just give me one. Yeah. Yeah, just people can share. Well, I encouraged, and not just myself, but the elders really encouraged all of us here to attend the listening meetings that was put out. And I know many of us here did get to attend those, and I just want to say I'm really thankful that Whitmer Heights participated in these meetings, because I think it was really important that it showed we want to be at the table, and we want to be able to share our voice, and that there's something really beneficial in that. And so if you were at any of those listening meetings, you probably got one of these affiliation proposals, but this is actually a little bit modified and updated, and so I want to go over this one as well. And one of the things that I heard from the elders was that, and I'm really grateful for our elder team, because this is why it's good that I'm not just doing this alone, and that we have elders that can talk together and say, you know, I think this got missed and we should probably talk about that. And so one of the things that I heard at our last meeting was, how about we just talk again about what's actually going on? No opinions attached, but just what's happening. And so I thought that was really helpful. So I appreciate that. So I'll start at the top. And I actually didn't realize that back in 2014 already, that it was that long ago in February, the Lancaster Mennonite Conference said, we're going to start reevaluating our affiliation with Mennonite Church USA. And the Board of Bishops took action to call for this time of discernment. 1 year ago, the Board of Bishops brought a proposal. And the proposal was for all credentialed leaders. And it was a proposal called ShalomNet. And it was basically an acknowledgement that we have divisions and different opinions in our conference. And ShalomNet is this one place where we could try to work that out a little bit. However, ShalomNet never happened. One of the concerns was that ShalomNet would actually divide us and create two conferences. And they said, we really want to stay together as a conference. We don't want to split. And so ShalomNet never happened. So then the Board of Bishops and the Conference Executive Council brought another proposal to test. And with the help of a task force, they received, and through these 8 regional listening and vision casting meetings that many of us went to, this proposal came out of that. And they recognize that it's not a perfect proposal, because the reality is, and if you were at any of these listening meetings, you heard that there was many opinions shared and not everybody was in affirmation of this. So they're acknowledging that it's not perfect. But this is what the proposal is at this point. And this proposal is still up to date. It has not been voted on by anybody yet, but this is still the official proposal. And so, in an attempt just so that we're all made aware of what's going on in our conference, I'll just read the proposal. The proposal is that Lancaster Mennonite Conference withdraw as an area conference in Mennonite Church USA and help to create ways for Lancaster Mennonite congregations to participate in relationships with other groups, including Mennonite Church USA, Ivana, or other Anabaptist networks that enhance congregations' missional call and purpose. Now, I know when you read that, it maybe looks simple, but it's not that clear, maybe. And some of the things that I've heard from people is, well, what is Ivana? And I think there was a lot of confusion about that, if Lancaster Mennonite Conference was going to join Ivana. Ivana has already started, and it's based in Indiana. And at this point, conferences would not be able to join Ivana. So it's really not possible for the Lancaster Mennonite Conference to join Ivana. What could happen is individual congregations could join Ivana. Ivana really is just a network of churches that, if they don't want to be a part of Mennonite Church USA, they could network with Ivana. And so this proposal calls for Lancaster Mennonite Conference to withdraw. However, the difference in the proposal is that it would only happen in 2017 now, December 31st. And the reason that they put 2 more years onto this is because they realize that there's a number of congregations that do not want to leave Mennonite Church USA. And so this 2 years would then give a certain amount of time for congregations to kind of figure out their affiliation. And so even though the conference would be leaving, they would only go as a non-participatory conference for 2 years, and then they would officially withdraw. But because that they would have those 2 years, congregations that want to stay apart could designate being participatory. So as of now, whenever we give money to Lancaster Mennonite Conference, 10% of that money gets tithed to MCUSA. If Lancaster Mennonite Conference becomes non-participatory, no money gets tithed to MCUSA. But however, congregations could individually choose to tell the conference, we want to be participatory. So then their money would still be tithed to MCUSA. But that would be for 2 years. After that 2 years, in December 31st, 2017, there would have to be a way for congregations that want to stay apart to figure out how they stay apart of MCUSA if they desire that. And that's really where the question mark is now for a lot of people. Because in order for that to happen, Mennonite Church USA would actually have to make some changes in their bylaws. Because right now, the only way to be a part of Mennonite Church USA is through a conference. I'll say that again. The only way to be a part of Mennonite Church USA right now is through the conference. So Lancaster Mennonite Conference is the reason we're a part of Mennonite Church USA. So they would have to change their bylaws for individual congregations to be a part of Mennonite Church USA without being a part of the conference. I think part of the concern is that at this point, Mennonite Church USA has said, most likely the only way to be a part is if you would leave Lancaster Mennonite Conference and join another conference. So, of course, that makes it a rather difficult proposal then for many people. Because it feels like you have to choose between Lancaster Mennonite Conference or Mennonite Church USA. Number three, during this two-year implementation period, LMC Board of Bishops and congregations will function as non-participating, beginning with the affirmation of the recommendation. B, an option is given for congregations to continue participation. Congregations opting for participation will inform the office and will choose persons to represent them. And all LMC congregations remain fully participating and accountable to the LMC standards. Number four, that Lancaster Mennonite Conference be committed to pursue our vision, commitments, and core values, modeling God's grace as we live out the mission of God. And number five, that in light of these commitments and core values, Lancaster Mennonite Conference is open to receive congregations who wish to reconnect or other congregations seeking a place to belong. Basically, what that's saying is that if other congregations around the United States that are maybe also leaving their conferences, Lancaster Mennonite Conference wouldn't be open to receiving them. This proposal now goes to the Bishop Board. And the Bishop Board at the end of October is going to vote on this proposal. And it needs 80% to pass the Bishop Board. If it gets 80%, then it goes to all credentialed pastors, chaplains, whatever. Any credentialed leader, active credentialed leader in the conference then would vote on this proposal. And that would need two-thirds to pass. Now, here's the thing. If it would pass, then basically every congregation in Lancaster Mennonite Conference is doing exactly what we're doing right now. Because this affects every congregation has to talk about what this means then for their church. Because some churches really want to stay a part of Mennonite Church USA, and some churches really want to be a part of Lancaster Mennonite Conference, and some churches, which I think like ours, really don't want to choose between the two. And so what do we do? Well, I'm grateful for the elder team and all of us together as we figure this out. But I think at this point, the best thing is to keep, just to do as much as we can do now, and that is to acknowledge this hasn't passed yet, and the Bishop Board is voting on it, and then the credential leaders will vote on it. And so it's good to be aware of this and to keep talking together. And also acknowledge that we can wait until there's actually been a decision that's been made. The reason I think that this fits with napkin theology is because my prayer is that during this next year, if we have to keep talking about what this means for our church, that we can really stay up in this area of the open. And there's something that I want to tie into this, going back to our scriptures. And that is verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confessions. And napkin theology forms a cross. And if any of you want to write out that on your napkin, feel free to do that. It's simply a P and a C on the left and right, and an O and a C on the top and bottom, and they crisscross. And I think this is powerful. It makes a cross, because what is the center of this? It's Jesus. Jesus, the great high priest, is here and with us, regardless of if we are more progressive or traditional. Jesus is in the center. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. It's not that we have a God that's afraid of this conversation, I think. I think we have a God that's created all of us in God's awesome creativity. I love it that the word creativity is in creation. God has created all of us in our creativity and our diversity. We do not have a high priest who is scared of this, I think. And verse 16 then is just powerful. Let us therefore, because we have this great high priest at the center of who we are, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I think we are in a time of need right now. We are in a time of heightened anxiety and potential conflict. And so if there's ever been a time to approach the throne of grace with boldness, I think it's now. And I remember something that Bishop Jason has said in a sermon maybe a year or two ago. And he said, whenever there's conflict, you have two options. You can either lean away or you can lean in. And I love it that Bishop Jason always puts motions with everything. Lean in. Now is the time to lean in. We have to be willing to lean into this. By leaning in, I mean committing to healthy dialogue and conversation. Committing to loving one another, even when we disagree with the other person. Committing to stay at the table. Committing to keep Jesus at the center. Committing, just as napkin theology does, to have communion with one another and to keep worshiping, that will be staying there, that we will keep worshiping. May we, therefore, approach the throne of grace with boldness. Why? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in this time. As you take your napkin this week, hang it on your fridge or use it at dinner, I don't know. But be reminded that we do have a great high priest that's in the center of this, that we are a diverse congregation. And yet, we are a congregation that worships together, that loves one another, and that keeps Jesus at the center. Amen.